would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His Kingdom, you can visit our website as www.dev.cumcsymour.org. Come join us on June the 17th for our next community meal. This is open to all community free of charge. We are having tacos, nacho cheese, chips, and cookies. Please come and join us at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. for good food and fellowship. Our scripture this morning is from Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith and first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, we go to Romans 3, 22 through 28. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice. Because of His forbearance, we have left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just, and those who justified, those who have faith in Jesus. Where, then, is the boasting? It is excluded. On that principle, on that of observing the law, no, but on that of faith, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Our sermon this morning is No Shame by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
I am quite taken by Paul's words. He says, I am not ashamed. Well, shame is a deep thing. It is identity-stealing, soul-crushing, and paralyzing. And it prevents us from being who God has called us to be. I think we have all, at some point in time in our lives, experienced shame. But we, as a church, as a Christian body, have good news for all of those who are experiencing shame. Jesus Christ wipes that clean. He takes all our sins, all our failures, all our wounds, and throws them as far as the east is from the west, and washes us whiter than snow. As I said, shame is identity stealing. We are to remember that our identity is in Christ Jesus alone. And it can become paralyzing. When I was called into ministry, I kept saying, no, there's no way. Not with the life that I have lived. But time and time again in the Bible, we see how God takes broken people and uses them to further the gospel. We see where God takes sinners. For each and every one of us have sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. I struck up with the conversation with a woman that I had known several years. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, out of nowhere, she blurts out, I've been married 4 times. And I just looked at her and said, oh, I wasn't aware of that. You'd never mentioned that before. She said, that's because I am ashamed. We all carry secrets, wounds, and we all sin in word, thought, and deed. A man lost his job, and he was too ashamed to come home and tell his family why. You see, he had inadvertently just picked up a box of envelopes as he was walking out the door because he had a few things that he needed to mail. And he was caught on camera taking a box of envelopes for his own personal use and fired. He was too ashamed to tell anybody the real reason that he had lost his job. There's a newlywed. His marriage is not going well, and it breaks my heart. You see, when he was very young, some things happened to him. Things that he has never talked with anyone about. He's pushed them down inside of himself. And all his life, he has felt as if he was not good enough. Things that have happened to us, wounds and scars, make us feel shame, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. But we have to take those wounds and scars before Christ Jesus. His wife begged him to go to Christian counseling because he couldn't get close to her. He was afraid to go. He was too ashamed. I will never forget my first pastor, now my mentor, leading me through a visual prayer to help release me from shame. He told me to imagine a beautiful house, and that when I walked inside, the house was filled with filth and dirt and cobwebs. And he went room from room, asking me to confess my sins in each room, to confess and give up the things that had wounded me and scarred me. And then he had Jesus sweep clean all of the garbage, all of the cobwebs, and throw it out. And then he told me to imagine Jesus Christ taking a hose and washing clean the inside of the house until it sparkled. Now granted, that's just a simple visualization, but it changed my life. Not only were the sins that I had committed washed clean, but the sins that were perpetrated against me no longer held me in bondage. This is why it is so important for us to be able to share with someone in the church. This is why I preach that we are to be real and authentic in the church, so that we can share with one another things that we are struggling with and ask somebody to pray for you. Get to know one person in your congregation that you are comfortable asking to help keep you accountable, to pray for you over things that have wounded you or you are struggling with now. It seems that there is shame that surrounds the church. And I mean the church universal. Every denomination across the nation and across the globe. I still will never forget calling in a prayer and asking for prayer for my son when he tried to commit suicide. And they didn't want me to use the word suicide or the word depression. I love Lachman. Her husband, Bill, is a pastor, and they've been in ministry over 40 years. She had one son who committed suicide, another son who was an addict and became a preacher, and went back out and used, and both of them died. She is not ashamed of the things that have happened in her family. She uses them to preach and to teach others that we can be released from shame, we can be released from pain, and we can be healed by Jesus Christ. I remember an older couple who had had a son that committed suicide, and the church was wonderful to him. I love this church. They came alongside of them. They had a beautiful funeral. They had a wonderful funeral dinner. People brought food to their house. They brought cards. They did things for this family. But the family was so ashamed, they never returned to church. One church I served, the nominating committee asked a woman if she would be part of the staff pastor parish. And she said yes. She got home and she got to thinking, and she was so weighed down by shame that she came to me. She said, "Pastor, I don't really think people here want a parent like me." And then she began to share with me that her oldest daughter was an exotic dancer and that she had problems with cocaine. She said, "Pastor, I have tried to reach her since she was 15 years old, but she always stands at a distance and I cannot reach her. And I'm afraid that the people in church will not want me to be a part of the church, let alone to serve on a committee." I shared with her some of the struggles that my own children have been through. Once in a while, a member of a congregation anywhere will get in trouble for something, and it will be splashed across the newspaper before they can even defend themselves. Could be as simple as a ticket. Could be something more devastating. But I remember one woman named June. She had a son that had been caught drinking and driving, who got into a fight with the police officer. She was praying for her son. She fought a battle in prayer, and she began asking in church for release from his addiction. Now, this church didn't talk about that kind of thing. So when she asked that, people kind of went like this. The one woman who sat in the same pew with her heard her praying. And I'll never forget, this woman had a son who didn't pay his child support, missed one payment. And lo and behold, he got sent to jail. And it hit the newspaper. Her name was Shirley. She snuck in the back door of church on Sunday morning, knowing that I was always there early. And she said, "Pastor, I just can't go to church." And I said, "Why, Shirley?" And she said, "My son got arrested and he went to jail. And I can't bear the people in the congregation knowing." I asked her to wait there for a minute, and I went and got June. And she and June and I prayed together. And then during the prayer time, she lifted up her prayer. June held her hand up high. She remained in that congregation because someone else had the courage to pray with her during her time of shame. You know, one of the ways that people work out their theology of work is to believe that if you do good deeds, if you work hard, if you treat people well, you will go to heaven. But that means you must keep your reputation spotless and your family must have a good name. Aren't you glad that that's not how we are justified to Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that it is our faith in Him that saves us rather than our good works? A lot of people use shame as a method of keeping people in control. When our country was founded in the early settlements, If you broke the Sabbath, you were put to shame. If you stole a loaf of bread because your family was hungry, you were put in stocks for everyone to see. You know, there are still families who keep their children in line by shaming them. And there are still families who respond overly dramatically to shame. I had a community Bible study once, and a man brought in a news clipping because he was so horrified by what was in it. There had been a woman who was raped and brutalized and abused. Do you think that her brothers went after the man? I wish. Do you think that they pressed charges? No, they kept it all secret. They put her to death. They set her on fire. Because they were so worried about the shame that she had brought upon the family. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. If anyone had reason to bear shame in the Bible, it would be St. Paul. St. Paul was, for all intents and purposes, the captain of the secret police in Jerusalem. Because he went around ripping people out of their homes and having them stoned to death for furthering the gospel, for being Christian. And then the Lord struck him, spoke to him. I've always found it fascinating that his response was, Lord, Lord. He knew. He knew that was the Lord. And once the scales were removed from his eyes, he couldn't get enough of telling the gospel. But Paul is not an always easy person to deal with. He can be loud and pushy. And sometimes he even came across as arrogant. He says, you all should remain single like me. Well, that's not quite exactly what it says. But I remember those words being read in the Bible, and there was a woman in the study who looked up and said, now listen here, Paul, I'm thinking you're going to have to stay single because nobody could live with you. He was who he was. He could be crass sometimes. He could be bold. He could be tender and gracious. But he was always in love with Jesus. Sometimes he said things that embarrassed the church. Ever read the letter to Galatians? He was furious with the Christians in Turkey. He was furious at all of Asia Minor. Matter of fact, he told them, I wish those people who are upsetting you about circumcision would be mutilated themselves. That word mutilated translates to castrated. And they put that outburst in the Bible. But beloved, there is nothing in the Bible that God cannot use, that he did not intend for our good and for our purposes. You know, I have colleagues who tell me they don't take the Bible literally. I do take it literally. Now, I read it in context. I read what's before. I read what's after. I remember that certain things pertain to that particular culture and time. But every piece of the Bible is good for teaching, for rebuking, for encouraging, and for learning. All throughout Scripture, the notion of shame is a very powerful force. I did a word search. In the Old Testament, shame is mentioned 174 times, especially in the Psalms. I absolutely love the psalmist, David being amongst them, who laid himself bare. Psalm 25, oh my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let those who wait for you put me to shame. Let the treacherous be put to shame. When the apostle talks about the Bible, he says, I am not ashamed of the Bible. He told the truth about his former life. I used to hunt down Christians and destroy them, he confesses, but now I am Christian. All of us have a former life. All of us have skeletons in our closets. All of us have things that we would rather not be displayed upon a big screen. But we can rest assured that when they are offered up to our Lord and Savior, they are wiped clean, and our God no longer remembers what they were. The gospel has the authority to change our lives. It has the power to wipe away our shame and our sins. Can I get an amen? That is the essence of what the church has to say. One problem, though, is that the gospel's been around so long that we've let it get rusty. Our witness has become a bit flabby. Years ago, I had two funerals in the same church, in the sanctuary, in the same week. The first one, the funeral director pointed out three people that were seated out there that did not even know where that church was. He said, people called me and asked me directions to get to the church. Beloved, there are people who don't know where Trinity United Methodist is. I have people call me on a daily basis wanting to get a gas card, wanting to go to one of our pantries. And they tell me, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're located. Generally, the first thing out of my mouth is we're right across from the Catholic Church. Some of them know where that is and some of them don't. But that is why we must be visible in our community. And Mark, the community meals that you've started, I had people coming up to me at annual conference and asking me, are you still doing those meals? That is a great work. That does make us visible. I'm going to be asking some of you to pray in the near future and asking you what God tells you that we as a church should be doing to further the gospel, to minister to our community. You know your church. You know your community much better than I do. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say, and I'm hoping that each and every one of you will be praying for how we can minister here. Years ago, something happened in one of the first churches that I served. They had vacation Bible school, and you know, they did a good job with the vacation Bible school. The youth were up front and center. But I asked, what about advertisement? And they said, no, no, Pastor, that's not necessary. Well, the next year, I took a big orange poster board, and I wrote vacation Bible school. I wrote the theme on it. I wrote the name of the church, the date, the time, and the church's phone number, and I hung it on the street corner. Lo and behold, a couple days later, it was gone. On Sunday morning, the Sunday school superintendent came to me and said, you don't get it, Pastor. If we advertise, who knows who will show up? I said, well, I kind of thought that was the point. He said, I don't want things to get out of hand in our church. I don't want things to change in our church. I want things to remain just like they are. And if we go inviting everybody in the community, what's to say that our church will not change? Paul reminds us that God has the power to transform every life. One way to say it is that God has the power to take away our shame. You know what the New Testament says? I love this. Hebrews 2:11. The Father of Jesus is our Father, and Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And then Hebrews 11:16. God has prepared a city for us, and God is not ashamed to be called our God. I love Gary Dyer. He says and has said prophetically for years that Seymour is the city of God. And I do see that. I see as where we all need to collectively come together and to do more work. But I see where God is bringing things into the light for healing, where God is moving and working, where God cancels every debt and says, you are redeemed. Not too long ago, I talked with a man here who has done great work in furthering the gospel. Now, his ideas are different than mine, but that's not always a bad thing to have ideas that are different. He is always filled with enthusiasm about Jesus Christ. And being a preacher, I know that it is hard to maintain that level of enthusiasm. So I asked him, how do you do it? How do you stay so positive, so in love with God, so on fire for Jesus? He took out of his pocket a piece of paper and he handed it to me. And he said, I keep this on me constantly to remind me who I am. And this is what it says. I am a member of the Fellowship of the Ashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. Acts 1:8. The decision has already been made to follow Jesus. I won't look back, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, side walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, and same visions. Money